Raw footage coming out of the cinema and into your ears.
35mm. Analog world. 35mm.
Welcome to episode 11 of the Raw Footage Podcast, the Stream of Consciousness film review show, hosted by me, Colin Gaisley, from Bath in the southwest of England. In this episode, once again, you will see the wide variety of tastes that I have in films. This was another double bill day, with one half being a French film, which got a small release here in the UK, and the second half being a big budget 3D CG animated film. It's an odd juxtaposition, but that's my taste in films, and I pretty much enjoyed both films equally. But of course, you'll be hearing all about that coming up. And speaking of that, let's get straight on with the first review.
Oh boy, are you in for a special treat.
The first film of the day is the French romantic comedy Romantics Anonymous. I should warn you that in this review, there is quite a bit of wind noise, which unfortunately I couldn't do much about. And I didn't actually feel when I was recording, so it's always tricky recording outside. As usual, I won't be playing the trailer, since this is a foreign language film, and it seems pointless playing the audio from the trailer in an English language podcast. But if you want to see the trailer, it will be embedded on the homepage at raw-footage.co.uk. So, let's get on with the review. So you now find me sitting outside the Little Theatre here in Bath, where I have just come out of the French film Romantics Anonymous. This is a pretty lightweight film. It's fluffy and inconsequential romantic comedy, but it's also utterly, utterly charming. It follows the relationship between a painfully shy chocolate maker and his new employee, who is also very shy. Well, she's not exactly shy, but whenever she is praised or confronted or interacted with, really, in any way, she seizes up and faints. So these are two people who are over-emotional in different, slightly different ways. And that's kind of the premise of the film. And since they are chocolate makers, in a rather ingenious type of marketing, a company called Hotel Chocolat have provided all the audiences for the first few showings of Romantics Anonymous here in Bath with a free chocolate. So, as an added bonus in this episode, you're also going to get a live taste test of Hotel Chocolat chocolates. Thought I may as well record it since I'm going to eat it anyway. Have to say I'm not massively impressed with that. For a supposed boutique chocolate maker, it's a bit commercial. Bit of a shame, but hey ho, free chocolate. So yeah, the film. The two leads in this film are brilliant. I mean, they both show the emotional fragility of their characters. Benoit Poelvoorde plays the chocolate maker, and Isabelle Carré plays the master chocolatier who joins his bankrupt company, but is so shy about her talents that she doesn't want anybody to know she's master chocolatier. So there's a bit of conflict through that. It's very funny. I mean, I did find it a good time. Unusually for a 10:30 showing, it was actually quite a large crowd. So I was in a slightly strange situation where I was in a pretty full cinema in the little theatre, which isn't a massive screen, but still. And I was surrounded by people who were sort of clearly really, really enjoying it and laughing out loud throughout a good portion of the film. And I didn't quite feel that. I mean, like I said, I found it a very charming film, and it is very funny, but not quite as laugh-out-loud funny as the majority of the audience seemed to find it. It's a film that has unconventional people in it. I mean, it's an unconventional relationship. And I think that's kind of the point of this film. I mean, it's not a Hollywood romantic comedy where two very attractive people go through trials and tribulations and fall in love. I mean, these are reasonably attractive people, but they're not sort of supermodels or anything. These are regular people who have regular problems. I mean, being shy and being have a severe lack of self-confidence. This is also a very, very short film. I mean, it's not even 90 minutes, so I'm kind of in the situation, I'm not sure I'll say this many times, but I think this film could actually have been longer. The relationship between the two characters goes very, very quickly. They go from 0 to 60 in a very short space of time. And that is perfectly explainable within the context of the film, because these people have so little of the traditional social mores that they do skip steps. I mean, they don't get to know each other. I mean, the chocolatier asks his new employee out without really knowing her name, and she doesn't know his name when they end up in the restaurant together. So this social awkwardness does explain the breakneck speed that the relationship goes down. But I still would have liked a little bit more, especially as the film is so enjoyable that I could have stood to see a little bit more of it. And this film also has a pretty unconventional ending, which I don't think I've ever seen before, but in the context of the film and the characters involved, makes absolute perfect sense. So that's good. And this is also a film, and I'm not sure if it's just because it's a French film or whether it's the sort of choice of the director, but this is also quite dependent on farce. There is a lot of humour developed through the farcical nature of this relationship, the fact that it does go so quickly, that these are very awkward people who don't really know each other as well as they should for the situations they find themselves in. And I've got no problem with farce. It can be a very entertaining thing in small doses. I mean, I wouldn't want every film to be this dependent on farce, but like I said, this is such a charming film that it does get away with a lot. So overall, I would say it's definitely worth seeing. It's definitely a good example of the romantic comedy genre, if you can cope with the subtitles. And yeah, enjoyable. I'm not sure if it was this film in specific or foreign romantic comedies in general, but that was so much more enjoyable than your average Hollywood romantic comedy, which have become very formulaic and very generic. So if you want to have something romantic on your screen, then usually I think it's best to look in the foreign language section. So, time for the second review.
Well, baby, you have more for me? I admire your stamina.
Next up is the latest effort from DreamWorks Animation, which spins off one of the more popular characters from the Shrek franchise. This is Puss in Boots, and here's the trailer.
One little, please.
What are you doing here, senor? Did you lose your ball of yarn?
You made the cat angry. You do not want to make the cat angry. I protect the innocent.
I am Puss in Boots.
Meow. Is it hard in here? Or is it me? Puss in Boots. Legend tales of an ancient treasure. Hidden for centuries and guarded by giants in a castle in the sky. Holy Fiholies. Whoever finds this treasure will be given riches.
Wow.
Beyond imagination.
Show him the golden eggs.
No!
Please, you have shown enough. Do not worry, I will protect you.
Protect me? And who's gonna protect you?
Is it true a cat always lands on its feet?
No! That is just a rumor spread by dogs!
Fear me if you dare.
I hate cats.
That's not what your mama said.
Oh.
My thirst for adventure will never be quenched. Let's go.
So, once again, you find me sitting at a table outside Nando's, because I'm starving after my second film of the day, which was Puss in Boots, the latest animated effort from DreamWorks. Now, when I first heard about this, I was slightly dubious, because a lot of animation companies, particularly DreamWorks, have a habit of pushing secondary characters too hard in the sequel. And I'm thinking specifically about the penguins in Madagascar. When they were in the original Madagascar and were not in it very much, they were by far the best thing in that film. But by the time Madagascar 2 came around, everybody loved the penguins so much that they pretty much took over the film, which was not good. Madagascar 2 is by far the weakest DreamWorks animated film, in my opinion. And it's because it gets taken over by the penguins. So when the Puss in Boots character, who pretty much was the best thing in the last few Shrek films, was spun off into his own movie, I was dubious, because that doesn't necessarily work. But I'm pleased to say that it does. I enjoyed Puss in Boots a lot. It's by no means the best animated film of the year. I wouldn't say it's even in my top three. But it's solid, it's entertaining, the animation is decent. Although you can, in this case, you can probably skip the 3D and not miss that much. The 3D wasn't handled especially well. But Antonio Banderas is great, Salma Hayek is great, Zach Galifianakis is great, and it's a relatively standard story. Antonio Banderas, Puss in Boots, gets approached by his brother, Humpty Dumpty, played by Zach Galifianakis, to get the golden goose from the cloud castle where Jack from Jack and the Beanstalk left it. And that's the basic plot, and you know, it's fairly standard. I mean, the antagonist comes from a slightly unusual source, and the big monster revelation at the end is one of the strangest I've ever seen, but it fits in perfectly with this film, so I know, I guess that's animation for you. But I think Zach Galifianakis has Humpty Dumpty, this talking egg, is pretty good in this. I mean, I think he's probably the best thing in the film, because he is a very morally ambiguous character. Yeah, Zach Galifianakis, Humpty Dumpty, is a very interesting character because he is morally ambiguous. He is, you know, the childhood friend, you know, blood brother of Puss in Boots. But all the time he's got this thing about him that he is purely out for himself. And that's an interesting character that could have gone either way. I mean, of course, the Hollywood ending comes up and he does get his redemption. But I mean, that it seems churlish to level that accusation at a DreamWorks or a Pixar film that it does have a Hollywood ending. Because, I mean, that's what you expect when you go into these films. So, I mean, there's nothing unexpected, nothing unusual. There are one or two gags for the adults. There's one that was in the trailer about egg rape, which was odd but funny, and there's another one about catnip which I thought was quite funny as well. But yeah, it's an enjoyable family animated film, and it wasn't a mistake to spin it off, so yeah, plus in the DreamWorks column.
Perhaps I should point out that the trailer I reference in that review, which includes the gag about egg rape, is not the one I ended up using as the audio introduction to that review. The main trailer that constantly got played on British television and in British cinemas did include the egg rape gag, but I found an alternative trailer which worked better as an audio-only introduction to the film. So I used that one instead, but lost the egg rape gag. Not a big point or a big problem, but I'm the kind of person that needs to point these things out, unfortunately. So yeah, it looks like this episode is going to be exceptionally short. I think that's what you get for watching two films and getting exactly what you expect out of both of them. Although following the last episode, which somehow stretched to nearly an hour, which I can't quite explain, I think it's a benefit to have a slightly shorter episode following that. A reminder that you can send comments, feedback, MP3s to rawfootagepodcast@gmail.com. You can see all the trailers I talk about and have a proper rundown of my spoiler section and my annual awards lists at raw-footage.co.uk. And next episode will be the last proper episode of 2011. And following that, there will be two special episodes. One will count down my top 10 films of 2011. And the other one will be giving out my personal Oscars. So there are two special epic length episodes coming up shortly. So that was Raw Footage, and I'll see you the next time I come out of the cinema and into your ears. Raw Footage is an Ouroboros podcast production. Homepage can be found at raw-footage.co.uk. Comments and feedback can be sent to rawfootagepodcast@gmail.com. The intro music to this show is by Oliver Benjamin Thayer. The outro music is by Vicky, both used with permission. Idents provided by Dr. Brandy Sexy Voice of The Inside Outcast. Trailer audio is included under the Doctrine of Fair Use.